This is the War Room. It's June 11th, the year of our Lord, 2021. It's Friday. I want to go now to, we're talking about critical race theory. Do we have the cut from for Tom Cotton and General Austin? Do we have that? If we do, can we play that? If not, looks like we're hung up there. Let's go ahead and play that.
Mr. Secretary, do you believe that our military is a fundamentally racist organization? Yes or no, please.
Well, I won't give you a yes or no answer on that, Senator, because it deserves more than a yes or no. The military, like any organization, will have its challenges, but I do not believe it is a fundamentally racist organization.
Thank you. I'm sorry to cut you off, but our time is limited. I think it is a pretty simple question. I'm glad that you agree it is not fundamentally racist. Do you believe that any member of the military should be treated differently based on their skin color and sex? Again, yes or no will do.
Again, this question deserves more than a yes or no answer.
Mr. Secretary, I'm sorry to cut you off. Our time is limited. It is a very simple question. Should a member of the organization you lead be treated differently, in violation of the Constitution, I would add, based on their sex or the color of their skin?
No, I do not believe that. And that is why we have diversity, equity, and inclusion focus in the military.
And the military for decades has been one of the institutions in the society where you are most likely to get ahead based on your own performance, on your own merit, irrespective of the color of your skin or where you came from or who your parents were.
Senator, I absolutely agree with that, and I am an example of that.
Your distinguished career is an outstanding.
I would also say that,
Mr. Secretary, your career is an excellent example of that. But I have more questions based on the reports we've seen. The military has included the works of critical race theories on its reading list by authors like Abraham Henry Rogers, who now calls himself Abraham Kendi, and Robin DiAngelo. Mr. Kendi has written, quote, "The only remedy to past discrimination is present discrimination. The only remedy to present discrimination is future discrimination," end quote. Do you agree with that proposition?
I've not read that, and I don't, you know, I certainly don't agree with what you just said, but I, okay, you know,
Mr. Secretary,
it's always important to have the full context of anything that you're being asked to evaluate.
Mr. Secretary, do you believe that race and sex should be the key factor when selecting combat leaders, rather than, say, operational excellence, technical proficiency, leadership, agility, and integrity?
I do not, Senator. I think what you just said should be key components in making any selection.
Thank you. I'm glad we agree on all this.
Okay, right there, we get down to the heart of it. I want to bring in Alexandra Priet, our comms strategist for many, many years here, and also Commander Greitens. That was pretty stunning. This gets back to Colonel Lohmeyer. It gets back to the generals, the Flags for America. It gets back to this STARS, the system, which my daughter's part of, that's looking into the service academies. I want to say before I turn to I want Greitens first and Alexander, then we're bringing in, because I know you're very involved across the board in all of this. And this is why this critical race theory is very important. Tom Cotton is a guy that I think he went to Harvard, then he enlisted and became an officer and enlisted not to go be a JAG officer. He wanted to be a combat leader, an infantry officer. You know, Tom Cotton, you can't question Tom Cotton's patriotism, his brains, his love of country. And I think Tom Cotton was right. These are pretty simple questions. And General Austin, as much as I admire General Austin, he just wasn't quite straightforward. I mean, General Austin ordered a 30-day stand down or a 60-day stand down to get this. And General Austin has promulgated and allowed to be promulgated, really, the forcing of the critical race theory throughout the military. And let me add something. This happened before Biden's administration. It happened before General Austin got there. This was during President Trump's administration. He had to sign an executive order to get it knocked off, and we understand it didn't get knocked off for Lohmeyer. Before I turn to Greitens, I also want to make people understand this is one of the reasons that we do so much history here. When Nixon and Kissinger went for their historic trip to China with Mao Zedong and Chou Enlai, they were at Mao Zedong's private residence, and they were, you know, had translators, and they were having a conversation, and there was a law in the conversation, kind of a nervous law, and I think Henry Kissinger was talking to Chou Enlai, who was also the house intellectual of the Chinese Communist Party at the time, and they were talking about something, and he says, "Well, tell me, what do you think about the French Revolution?" And Chou Enlai looked at him and said, "Too early to tell." too early to tell. The radicalness in the French Revolution was the most radical assault upon the Judeo-Christian West at that time, France being the kind of flower of Western civilization. The flower and understanding liberty. Remember, they got in trouble by supporting the American Revolution. Now, it was against their arch enemy, England, but they were supporting the move for freedom of the American people. They were the ones that essentially financed us. Without France, we wouldn't have been financed. This attack upon the Judeo-Christian West goes back for centuries, and it's going to go for centuries in the future. And that's why this is a fourth turning. At the end of this turning, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be one thing or the other. We're going to either be a culturally Marxist entity, or we're going to be the center of the Judeo-Christian West that was bequeathed to us. That's what this battle is of every day, of all the stuff we do on the border and the counting rooms in Arizona, right? Or all the fights we have on the Wuhan lab, all of it, all your attention and the finances and how the stuff's financed and the taxes, it all gets back to this central beating heart of this problem. So, Commander Greitens, I want to bring you in
and
first,
Steve,
about our beloved military.
It's so important.
And then
yes. It's so important what you're taking. Let me pick up, please, on the history piece, and then let's turn to the modern day. What you see the left doing in America today is that they're also trying to erase American history. You see them trying to take the names of Lincoln and Jefferson off of schools. You see them trying to rip down statues across the country. And again, you look historically, this has always been how the left has operated. You're talking about the French Revolution. You look at what the Jacobins did. They actually got rid of the weak. They said, we're completely reordering and reorganizing society. They said, we're going to make it a 10-day week. We're going to give the months new names. They were going to completely reorganize society. And it happens in every leftist revolution. You've been talking about what Mao did in China. Same thing. You look at Pol Pot in Cambodia. These were efforts to completely rip the guts out of societies and completely reorient them along a leftist trajectory, leftist agenda. And that is what the left is trying to do in the United States.
This is what you saw at the school boards. This is the power of those parents standing up there. And particularly young parents to say, I understand what you're doing. This is, and Spiropoulos is special with the 34 videos we're going to show to you eventually, is the poison in the schools. Well, guess what? That poison is now into the military. And that poison they're trying to put into culture, that's the whole thing of this cancel culture. They are trying to poison our society. They're poisoning our culture. This is what they're doing. Alexander Preate, I know that we're going to get on about what we're going to bring you on for, but I know you've been the forefront of this, particularly on the media side of getting things set up. And I understand that you're particularly concerned about the school system and what's happening with the school system. Give us your thoughts, analysis from a media perspective on this.
Well, first of all, what I think the media is not covering is truly the American people, and I mean a majority, agree with us. This is the left at this hierarchy, at the very top, pushing this agenda. This is like 85-15, okay? You have kids in every single school district. It's not just New York City. It's not just Seattle. This is in Philadelphia. These are in suburbs. These are in small towns everywhere that this is happening. We need to stop it, and these mothers are standing up, and you see, you point out, Steve, that the women are taking the leadership here. I admire the general, I admire his service, and I admire everybody that sacrifices at our military. I admire our teachers that are out there fighting every day. But the leadership here, the Democrat Party, leadership of the unions are pushing something that the majority of the American people, and even teachers and people in the military, other generals, like Colonel Lohmeyer, are pointing out they do not agree with. The left is bargaining with the wrong tree, and they're gonna lose big time in 2022 if they continue down this path.
This is what's galvanizing, and this is why the women are so much at the forefront of this. Greitens, you know, you got Lohmeyer, you got the schools and the cultural Marxism, and then you have Colonel Lohmeyer, a hot runner, double deep selected for major or for lieutenant colonel, which you understand he's going to be a 3 or 4 star one day. Walk through, since you've had to command men in combat, walk through how dangerous it is to start to put this in the command system and to start to put this in, because what they're trying to do is destroy morale like they did in the Russian army, like they did in the French army. You see what they're trying to do here.
Look, what's happening here is that you're getting people who are trying to push critical race theory on the United States military. The United States military, which is, I argue, the most well-integrated institution in the history of the planet. In the U.S. military, when you're told to go and talk to the Master Chief, or you're told to go and talk to Gunny, or you're told to go and talk to the Colonel, it does not matter what color the Colonel is. It does not matter where they came from. You are going to talk to somebody who's in a position of authority. And that's one of the reasons why the United States military has always been so strong, and especially over the course of the last decades, is that the United States military has led the way in being the most well-integrated institution in the history of the planet. Is the U.S. military perfect? No. Is any institution perfect? No. But what Secretary Austin and other military leaders should say is that the United States military is a shining example for the rest of the country and the rest of the world of how you can bring people together from every conceivable background, give them a mission to go out and to defend our country, and they can do it with courage. They can do it with excellence. That's the history and the tradition of the United States military, and we should be proud of how the United States military has actually performed there. And Steve, to your point, I want to make one other point about where this fight is, right? So we're talking about making sure that we confront critical race theory in the military, in institutions. It brought goosebumps when I was watching all of those parents stand up at the school board and defend their kids. This is what the left has always done. They try to penetrate the minds of kids with their ideas. You can go back to Mao's Little Red Book. That's what they're trying to do. The fight for this, the fight for our culture, the fight for the United States of America, the trenches of that fight, the people who are winning that fight are the parents who are going to school boards, going to communities, and standing up for American values. I'm just so heartened to see that kind of courage there. It's incredible.
You know, I want to go back to something you saw in the French Revolution, you saw in the Bolsheviks, but particularly the Cultural Revolution. They perfected under Mao, and the reason was they had to break the traditional family. Chinese culture and society for so many millennia are tied around the tradition of the family. They had to break the family, and that's what they focus on, what's called struggle sessions. What is heart-rending is to see those parents, particularly young parents up there, understanding what their children are going to go through. They're trying to put their children through struggle sessions. They're trying to make sure they other them in these classrooms and put them through struggle sessions. The psychological damage that you will do for a generation of Americans is unacceptable, and we will never allow it. Trust me. I see so many parents are coming to, are running to the sounds of the guns here, right? It's so important.